Welcome to Textination. Joining us is Levi Sim at the Out of Oregon Landscape Photography Conference. Thank you for joining us, Levi.
Thank you, Fred.
Here at this conference, people are going out shooting the Oregon coast with the help of professional photographers such as you. And give us your thoughts about this whole experience here, what's been going on this week.
Oh, as far as an experience, I think that out of Chicago is the parent corp group that makes these things happen. And I think it's the best conference out there. It's the best thing I've ever been to. And it's really more of a work. I don't know. You get very close with people. I don't want to call it a workshop because that sounds tiny. It's a conference built of a whole bunch of little workshops, and you get very close with the instructors, and you get very close with the other attendees, and you build friendships with people from around the world, and that allows you to have a community to continue growing with and sharing with and referencing shared experiences. And I think the experience of getting together with others and learning is the most important thing you can do in any endeavor that you're trying to master and become good at. For some of these people do it for a business. Most of them are doing it for the love of creating something. And photography is so accessible to everybody. You don't have to have learned all these painting strokes. You don't have to have learned how watercolor reacts with paper. And you don't have to have the ability to reproduce what your eye sees with your hands. And that just makes it so much more accessible for so many people.
You're one of a growing number of photographers here and elsewhere who are shooting mirrorless with mirrorless cameras. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. I think mirrorless cameras are the greatest thing to happen to photography since, I don't know, film. since lenses, let's say that. With a mirrorless camera, what I see in the viewfinder is exactly what my photo is going to look like. And that allows me to have a clear relationship with the settings in the camera. When I change the aperture, I see the difference. When I change the shutter speed, I see the difference. When I change the ISO, I can see the difference and understand the relationship between those three things. I can see the way that my focus points interact, and it makes it so simple to learn the technical stuff about photography.
If I do this, then this happens,
exactly.
Et cetera.
Exactly. Like, photography is the technical art, which is unfortunate because it's still art. And these two pieces are at odds with each other, where people who like pushing buttons are attracted to photography, but so are highly creative people who see the world in a magical way. And sometimes those people have a hard time learning what the buttons do and learning how to let the camera provide what they see. Whereas conversely, people who love pushing buttons sometimes take longer to learn the creative stuff. And so using the mirrorless camera lets both people get the camera out of the way so that they can learn the creativity, they can practice their creativity, and they can learn the creativity so much more smoothly and without the hindrances of being unable to see what is going on inside the box.
I know you don't like to be pigeonholed necessarily into any specific type of photography, but your business, I guess, is based on some business photography, portraits, etc.
Yeah, I primarily make a living photographing people. I love photographing landscapes and all kinds of nature, but you know, a starfish has yet to purchase a picture from me. So, so I appreciate that people value photography too. And yeah, I photograph marketing pictures for businesses, and I photograph families, and I really enjoy the value of photographing people.
Well, tell me about that enthusiasm that you have, quite obviously, and how you maintain that. What drives you?
Yeah, there's something really fun about making something immediately. You know, I press this button, and 1/125th of a second later, I have a finished product. It's it's not pottery where I've spent an hour trying to throw this pot and then it collapses and then I still have to glaze it for 4 days and then see that I fouled up. I can see exactly how bad my pictures are right now. and that, but then the thrill of seeing that, that I made a change and made a good picture is really exciting. So there's that excitement of making something myself. There's also when I photograph people, no matter how bad a photograph is of a person, it's valuable to somebody. Even if that person doesn't like it, their great, great, great grandkids would love to have that photograph of their ancestor. Like if I had a photograph of Levi Clark Axtell, the guy I'm named after, I would love to see that. I would love to see him dressed up in his Civil War uniform. I have the drumsticks he used in the Civil War, but I would love to see what he looked like. I'd love to see if I have his nose, you know, and a photograph of a person is instantly valuable. Whereas no matter how good a picture I make of the Eiffel Tower, there are a lot of really good pictures of the Eiffel Tower. And mine doesn't, you know, make it's a drop in the ocean of recording that thing. And, you know, in 500 years, it may or may not be there, and it doesn't matter. But in 100 years, this picture of a person is instantly valuable. And
well, years from now, people are going to be looking at 10,000 selfies that grandma took.
and wouldn't that be wonderful, though, if I had those of my grandma, who's passed away? It would be wonderful to have all those. And I take that as a responsibility when I photograph a family, to know that what I'm making, even though everybody had a hard time getting here tonight, and Johnny wouldn't put on his church shoes, and Susie didn't want to wear that dress, and Dad's mad that he had to come do this after work, even though there's all these conflicting things happening, I'm able to put everybody together and show that at least sometimes this family is able to get together.
Are there tricks that you use to sort of turn the key and turn the mood around quickly?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Making fun of myself, making fun of Dad, gently, depending on Dad. But, you know, saying something like, everybody say, Daddy wears diapers. That's a trick I learned from my teachers. Gets everybody giggling a little bit, you know, saying funny phrases, hitting yourself in the face with a rubber chicken, whatever it takes. You can distract them. You can distract them from whatever is distracting, you know, whatever's engaging their mind that isn't in the now, being with their family, recording this memory.
How did you become a professional photographer? What was your journey? Were you on a different path? How did you wind up here?
Oh man, I've had 45 paychecks, like paying employers. I've done a lot of different things. I've been a park ranger. I've been an electrical engineer. I've been a wireline hand working in the oil field. I ran a buffalo meat company. A lot of different things I've done. But I've always been kind of an artist, kind of a creative fellow, a making kind of person. I lived in China for a year. And during that time, I wasn't making anything. I didn't have my woodworking tools. I didn't even have a sketchbook. And I noticed I was getting grouchy. And then I started taking a wood carving class with my fellow teacher at the high school. I was teaching English, and he was a local teacher.
And you weren't a photographer at the time.
I wasn't a photographer, yeah.
So what was the lightning bolt?
Yeah, the lightning bolt was putting together that making. I had done photography in high school, and I loved it. I loved developing pictures in the darkroom. I loved watching them appear. I loved walking around in the woods, crawling on my hands and knees, photographing icicles under rocks, all that stuff.
It was a high school course.
It was a high school course, yeah. But my brother came home from college, and his roommate had been a photography major. He said, man, there are no jobs in photography. So I studied geology.
There's always a buzz killer out there.
There's always a buzz killer. Well, so 12 years later, the same brother goes, hey, you know, Dad's making some money at portraiture. Surely you could. So I started thinking that, yeah, I'd probably like to do photography again. And I started reading and studying blogs and checking out books at the library. And for a couple of months, I studied quite a lot and started deciding what kind of camera I wanted to use and what kind of things I wanted to focus on. Finally ordered a camera and a speed light. I was a Joe McNally disciple, and I still am. And
is he your inspiration?
Oh, he's definitely a mentor to me. And the day after I got my camera in the mail, I'd already attended two workshops with David Zeiser out of Kentucky, and Sandy Putsch out of Denver had come on tour to the town I was living in. And that next day I had a portrait client and quit my job a year later.
And now you're the one doing some teaching.
And now I'm the one doing some teaching. Yeah.
and writing for Photo Focus as well.
Focus, yeah.
So tell me about that decision to take the time to share what you've learned.
A great way for me to learn is to teach. And I had taken a class, it was 2 months after I got my camera, my first D90, and I took a class at the community college on Photoshop. And at the end of the class, they asked me if I wanted to teach it, because the current teacher was leaving. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. They said, well, do you want to teach the photography class too? I said, yeah, I'd love to, which meant I had to have learned something I could teach every week. And for me, that's a powerful motivator. And so I had a plan of some things I wanted to share, and I'm just excited about it. And I love teaching at least as much as I love photography, and sharing the enjoyment of it and the adventure of it with others.
Where do you want this to take you next?
Oh man, that's a great question. I'd like to.
So many different roads, so many different paths in this business.
I'd like to continue teaching. I'd like to continue working for people making pictures. I might eventually even want to sell some landscape pictures. I love photographing nature and landscape. And I might even try my hand at that business sometime.
Even if the starfish doesn't buy it.
Even if the starfish doesn't buy it, my mom might.
Wonderful. For more information on all that you're doing, Levi, where are the best places for people to go?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram or photofocus.com for sure. Photo Levi and Outdoors Levi are my Instagram handles. And photofocus.com publishes photography education every day, and it's free. This is our 21st anniversary of publishing 365 days a year. So there are thousands of articles available to learn more about photography and kind of see what I'm doing, because I typically pull something from what I've just shot and write an article about it to share with others to learn.
Well, congratulations on all that you're doing. Levi Sim, thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you so much, and thanks for sharing what others are doing, too. I appreciate that.
Now this. How many companies out there have continued to innovate when it comes to building a better radio? I'm Fred Fishkin, host of Textonation, and I'm here to tell you about the new CC SkyWave SSB radio from the wonderful people at C-Crane. Bob and his crew really love radio, and it shows in this new compact model that is packed with features. Beyond great AM and FM reception and sound, you can tune into shortwave signals from around the world, listen to ham radio operators, aviation, and more. It's the radio you'll turn to every day, and in emergencies. It will run for nearly 3 days on just two AA batteries. Pair the sleep timer with the new Soft Speaker 3, and you've got the perfect radio for your nightstand. Of course, it can wake you up too. Click on C-Crane at Textonation.com and put in the code Textonation for a free flashlight with your order. They love radio, and you'll love C-Crane.